So it's the new year and it's hard not to notice the continual adverts and programmes with advice on how to lose those Christmas pounds. And given the recent headlines that one in four adults are obese, with that figure predicted to double by 2050, perhaps it is sensible for us to adopt a healthier lifestyle. But where do you start? With so much conflicting advice and with 90% of diets failing, it's very difficult to know what is best. Well, I'm joined this afternoon by Priya Chu, who is a dietitian from Southampton. Hello, Priya.
Hello.
Now, what do you make of all these different diets on offer?
Well, on the one hand, they're good because it means that people are thinking about losing weight. And I think that's a key thing to think about. Do I need to lose weight? But on the other hand, anything that's called a diet, in my opinion, is something that's not going to last. It's a short-term fix. And as a dietitian, I'm asked of people making some long-term changes to their lifestyle.
What are some of the basic changes that you would advise people to do?
I think having a good look at your current diet and yourself thinking through, well, what are three things I could do with changing? So, for example, she might not like me mentioning this, but I have a friend who has in January decided she's going to make some changes and try and lose some weight. One of the things she's done is she's cut out Diet Coke. For her, that was quite a big thing. And then she's trying to eat healthier choices in the evenings for dinner, and then she's exercising more. So those are just three things she's choosing to do.
Three very simple. You mentioned Diet Coke there because a lot of people will think, well, there's no calories in it, so what's the harm?
Absolutely, but it does still have caffeine in it, for example, and it's got artificial sweeteners in as well. And if you're substituting something such as a fizzy drink for things other than water, then there's always going to be an impact upon your body.
Okay, because there has been talk in the papers recently about diet drinks causing depression. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but there has been quite a lot of talk recently about the links between food and mood, for example. So some of the evidence around that shows that if you eat more of a Mediterranean-style diet, your mood is better. So that's eating more whole grain, starchy carbohydrates, so going for wholemeal bread, brown rice, brown pasta, those types of things. Having plenty of fruit and vegetables which contain B vitamins and folate, which have been shown to help improve mood. And also having more oily fish in your diet as well.
So you could almost, in its simplest form, just say, cut out all the artificial stuff.
Absolutely. The more natural you can go with your eating, the better. Get back to basics. Go and buy fresh fruit and vegetables. Cook them for as little as time as possible, so not leaving them to boil and simmer for an hour in the pan. And just get really fresh and creative with things.
Is there a healthy meal that you like to make at this time of year that kind of encompasses all of those things?
Oh, gosh, I've got loads. One of the things that I really like is a lentil bolognese, which is made basically using up everything in my fridge.
Yeah.
So I go around and I pick up all my bits of vegetables which look like they need using, and we put them in the food processor so that they all get chopped up finely, put them in the pan with some onion and garlic, and then we add in some lentils. Mm-hmm. Lentils are really good, as are all beans and pulses, for lowering the glycemic index of a meal. So they keep you full up. Mm-hmm. They've been linked to weight loss as well. And then we add chopped tomatoes and basically all the things you'd use to make a spaghetti bolognese, a tomato puree, maybe some stock. Leave it all to simmer and you've got a vegetarian meal.
That sounds really tasty, actually. Mm. As you say, lentils are great for filling you up and bulking out a meal, which makes it cheaper.
Absolutely.
As well.
Cheaper and healthier. If you want the recipe for that one, it's on my website as well. So if you go to dietitianuk.co.uk and you search for lentil, it will come up.
I think I might try giving that one a go. Now, Priya, lots of people are also talking around this time of year about detoxing. And does it help? Is it necessary?
It's not necessary, because the body has got a liver and it's got some kidneys, and they actually do the work of detoxing for you. So yes, drinking more water is really good. Eating more fruit is really good. But again, it shouldn't be a short-term thing. We're looking at a long-term fix rather than a short-term fix.
And another buzzword at the moment is this fasting thing, which just sounds to me like you don't eat. So that, and to me, it sounds dangerous.
It's not actually not eating, the fasting thing at the minute. It's eating fairly normally for 5 days a week and then restricting yourself to 500 to 600 calories on 2 days of the week. So that's not eating nothing, but it's really not very much. That's equivalent to one meal a day. I think the jury is still out on that one. I'm not sure what the actual evidence is for it yet. However, the problems that seem to come up from people I've spoken to are that those 2 days of fasting, you really struggle with things like concentration and your mood and your energy levels, headaches. So it's thinking through, actually, does that work in terms of your lifestyle? I would be recommending just normal healthy eating alongside exercise.
And I suppose equally, if you are exercising and not taking in very many calories, that's when it could become dangerous, I suppose.
It could, yeah. If you're going for a 5 mile run or something and you've not eaten anything all day, then you're going to have problems and it's going to affect your performance generally throughout the day.
Now, another thing that's that we've been talking about over the past few weeks here at BBC Radio Solent and also nationally in the papers as well is the government trying to make us think about the amount of sugar that we are taking in and trying to ban some products from the supermarket shelves, particularly for children. And is too much sugar still a problem, do you think?
Definitely, too much sugar is a really big problem. I have a 2-year-old, so I'm very aware of that when I look at products on the shelves, and I just don't buy most of the products that are aimed at 2-year-olds because they contain too much sugar. So we make our own biscuits and cakes and treats and things like that, because then we can judge how much sugar we put in.
Because it's not even the sweet products, it's some of the savoury products, which you'd be surprised at how much sugar.
Yes, absolutely. One of the old examples of that is a yogurt.
Yes.
So everybody thinks low-fat yogurt, that's what I should be going for. When you look at the amount of sugar that's put in there to replace the fat they've taken out, it's actually a really high amount of sugar in some of those products.
So is there ever a good sugar substitute, or should you just try generally and reduce your sugar intake?
I would say generally try and reduce your sugar intake. There is a product out called Stevia, which is like a sweetener, but it's a far more natural product. And that's getting a lot of good press. And there's some really good research on that being better for you because it's a natural substitute rather than an artificial one. But generally trying to reduce the amount of sugar that you eat full stop would be a good thing. So that could be a great New Year's resolution. I'll cut down the amount of sugar I have in my tea. Cut it down by half a teaspoon.
I just wanted to come back to, because you were saying earlier about caffeine, and is coffee bad for you? Because it's one of those things that sometimes people say, yeah, it's really good, and other times they say, no, it's really bad. What's your thought on coffee?
I think everybody needs a bit of caffeine in their life at times, don't they? I certainly do. Coffee's not bad for you. It depends how much you drink of it, though. So if you're having a double espresso several times a day, then yes, it could end up being too much. About 4 to 5 cups of normal strength coffee are okay in a day, and the same is true of tea. But again, if you're having that extra shot put in, then your 4 or 5 is going to be more like 8 or 9, which is definitely going to be too much.
Did you hear of people getting withdrawal symptoms when they try and cut down in their coffee? But I guess that's for people who've been having the 6 or 7 espressos a day.
Absolutely. That's more for people who are having a lot. So definitely 4 to 5 cups of normal strength will be fine.
So just to sum up, Priya, you're sort of 3 or 4 really good tips to try and start the new year that almost anybody could take on board.
Increase your fruit and vegetables. It's an old one, but it's still true. So aim for 5 or more portions a day. Try and cut down the amount of sugar that you're eating in your diet, and get active. So just get out, walking in the park, running up and down the stairs, whatever it is for you, become more active every day.